You're listening to the Modern Web Podcast. For more podcasts, videos, and events, find us online at modern-web.org or follow us on Twitter at modern.web. That's modern.web.
Tracy Lee, Rob Ocell, and Jerome Hardaway discuss the importance of prompt engineering in optimizing AI interactions.
Hey everyone, welcome to another part in our series on AI. And gosh, what are we calling it? The ladders to AI, learning. Gosh, I can't remember the name of it now.
We haven't figured it out. We were talking about the pyramid of learning last time.
The pyramid, yes. The AI pyramid. I think we're on step three. So we're not even there. Like we're like halfway there.
Yes.
So this one is prompt engineering, which is everybody's talking about prompt engineering and how to get good at it and this and that. But before I get started, I want to introduce myself. My name is Tracy. You can follow me on Twitter at Lady Leet or on LinkedIn at Tracy Lee. And I'm joined by Rob Ocell here, who has joined as our co-host, one of our co-hosts. Hi, Rob.
Hey, everybody.
And Rob is an architect and team lead here at ThisDot. And then Jerome. And gosh, Jerome, I don't know. You are like the, oh my gosh, I'm going to use an army term. But you're going to be like, no, Tracy, this isn't right. You are the lieutenant of Vetsu Code. General of Vetsu Code?
No.
What's a lieutenant?
What's a... I work for a living. Those are all officer terms. Like, oof, no.
It was... You can't be an officer? That's not what you are to Vetsu Code?
I would never want to be an officer of Vetsu Code. I want my troops to see me as a person who has... A person who... A leader that eats last and leads from the front, I guess, is what I've always wanted to be. I want to be that human being to them, that you know, everything that they, everything I tell them, I want them to know I've experienced it.
Yeah,
you can't get that with
so you don't get that with really like officers.
Not if you're enlisted. If I'm an enlisted troop and you know my officer leadership, like, no, this dude went to college like before he joined the military. I joined the military and I'm doing college in the military. I want to do college after the military. It's just not the same. That's why we have an enlisted corps and officer corps, and why there's fraternization rules. Like officers and enlisted, they can't marry or anything. Like if
really?
You want to go, yeah, if you want to go E to O, enlisted officer, and you're dealing and you have a significant other, you either have to get it on paper, like on paper, literally from your commander, that you and this person was already in a relationship, or you got to get married, or you got to go ahead and break it off. Like if you don't, yeah, like that's the military is very strict. I like to call myself a sergeant in arms. That's who go. I like
so a sergeant is not an officer.
A sergeant is a non-commissioned officer. So there's commissioned officers, the ones with the shiny stuff, and there's non-commissioned officers, the ones who started as an E1 from the beginning or E3, and they go up the ranks to become leaders from the beginning. Whereas, you know, if you're an officer, you come in as like a butter bar 01 and you're a leader the minute you come in. Like you're
well, hey, I learned something new today.
New series. That's a preview of our new series with Tracy and Jerome.
Explaining military to techies. Like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So like prompt engineering. Okay. Why do they call it engineering? Because I feel like everyone is talking about it and they're, you know, even like non-tech people, you know, marketing people are like, oh, I'm really good at prompt engineering. And so it's like, sounds like they're getting into engineering.
I mean, I think it is.
They're not, are they?
I think, what are we declaring engineering? It has to be by languages, it has to be by dials, right? Like, you know, you can do engineering in many ways, right? There are mechanical engineers that don't see software engineers.
But you could say like
I was gonna say this whole conversation is very rich coming from software engineers.
But it's like I mean we're JavaScript engineers first, right? Remember 15 years ago, we weren't even considered real engineers. You were considered kids playing with scripting language, right?
But can you call like but when you say engineering, right? Is it that you are trying to engineer the best response, or is it like prompt engineering, you are doing dev work?
Kind of prompts. It's like if this IFTT, if this and that, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to know how to code to engineer solutions, right? It's the same concept of prompt engineering. Using the English, like, we can all agree that English is hard, right? Like, if you go on to any slot, well, we're one of the most, like, difficult languages on the planet. So when you're adding that idea of how do I speak to a computer to produce the desired results in the least tokenized manner in an efficient way, right? That's going to be performant and affordable as well as safe. That's engineering, right? So we're talking about we're building a product, we're making sure we're building it in a way that's performant and that is maintainable. You know, same way with like how LLMs now, Microsoft just dropped a LLM, I think, conversion tool, or basically it makes your prompt smaller, right? It takes away a lot of the extra stuff to make your prompt smaller, so you spend less money on tokens, right? So that's one of the solutions, right? Or how do I, you know, prompt this tool? Like, I hate, I saw this on Twitter, or formerly known as Twitter, whatever I'm legally supposed to call it, a couple days ago, where this person was crapping on, this software engineer was crapping on ChatGPT for not being able to use, for not being able to solve their SQL problem. But they didn't use anything that was proper prompt engineering in the, you know, the today's era, right? They didn't train the cheap GPT, didn't saturate the GPT. They didn't use any techniques. They're like, yo, give me this. And then they get them what they wanted. And they're like, oh, ChatGPT sucks. I only used it once in 2 months, but it's still trash. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't understand that just because you're a software engineer doesn't mean you might be a good prompt engineer. And you have to learn both those skills consecutively, right? So, like, the ideals are, like, some of the basics when it comes to being a good prompt engineer, such as, like, when you're talking about being like, specificity, being specific and clear. You have to understand how to do that, how to, you know, I mean, programmers are notorious for not being specific and clear. I don't know if you all have ever done it, but I've been in a room with people and I'm like, am I in the right room? Like, I don't know what this man up there is saying. I'm going to go get a donut and I will come back. You know, I'm on my phone playing Tetris, like, whatever. Like, I'm lost in this conversation. So you have to. I mean, that's one of the biggest points, like specificity, clarity, refinement, right? I'm a big fan of, like, I will take just one GPT opening and I will refine my answer through time because I'm trying to find a way to make things get to the single source of truth that I'm looking for, right? I have, like, I leverage few-shot learning. I have a bunch of tips right here. I have my own little cheat sheet. Few-shot learning, chunking, right? How many times you see people throw sheet worth of junk in ChatGPT, and instead of they're just doing let's start one problem at a time. Now we solve this problem. Now let me use the solution to this problem. Go to this GPT, and now I'm starting the clean GPT solving from a point of a problem that I've already solved. Right? I broke this big problem. Into little problems, solve this little problem right here. Now I'm going to go to another little problem, and I'm going to keep going and doing
like
that.
What they teach you in elementary school, like word problems,
or when you intro to programming.
Yeah,
they teach you same way intro to programming, right? The first thing they teach you is, you know, break big tickets down into small tickets if on your first job, right? It's is no different. You're chunking. Someone gives you an epic, you're like, yo, this is a lot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break this epic down into a small task and a manageable task so I don't feel overwhelmed. And I'm also going to make sure that it's reflecting on the board that that's what I've done so people know that I am working. I'm just trying to, you know, figure out all this stuff, right? That's something you have to learn the hard way in programming because people don't teach you that, but it's something that's already built in to prompt engineering that, you know what, this is one of the ways you should do this thing, right? So another thing, specify languages. People do not specify stuff. They're not, like I said, they're not specific enough. They'll be like, hey, yo, give me solution XYZ. And you're laughing because you've seen it. And then you're like, why is this in Scala? Because you didn't tell it what to solve it in. Like, you know, I have in my ChatGPT, I let it know I'm only solving problems in JavaScript, TypeScript, Next.js, Python. I'm only using OpenAI. I'm only using Azure or Azure OpenAI fast API for APIs. I'm only using Django for robust apps.
Or you Next can tell JS your GPT that. You can just like tell ChatGPT that like forever you should know.
Oh yeah, in your part of your settings, you can put your system message of who you are and what your problems are you're gonna solve.
Yeah, it's like one of those first steps. I know, like Nancy Dodds talks about this a lot. Like he tells he in his personal configuration, he tells the GPT like, don't be conversational with me. Be terse, to the point. Say the answer. Be done with it. I don't want to talk with you. I just want to get my answers out.
Yeah, you can tell it how to communicate, what to call you, everything, right? Active voice. Or direct instructions, what you just said, like tell it how to communicate. I am a big fan. I tell it, you know, it depends on the situation. I don't keep that part static. I keep that part dynamic. I will lead with, I want just the answer, or I want to have this explained to me in a format that I can communicate it with, right?
Yeah.
Clarify your detail level. Sometimes I'm like, hey, I just want a summary. So now, all right, let's dive deeper into this stuff. Right. So, and I think, this is a fun one. I haven't used this a lot. Meta prompts, a way to control the model and how it behaves. You ask the model to act as I guess I do use it. I tell it act as a program manager a lot when I'm making tickets. Like,
I love that.
Yeah. And I,
you are a program manager dressed up in a pink tutu with holding a poodle.
And it will probably say, I can't do that. As in, it's probably going to get the as an AI model. I cannot do this.
But it's sometimes pretty good to do. This isn't necessarily prompt engineering, but it's more just like task realization. But that idea of like having the AI be adversarial to itself, having it generate like a marketing prompt, and then having it be a consumer and saying, what did you think about that marketing prompt?
I have it be critical.
I love that.
Be critical of this and then do it. Like, I love that. That's my favorite thing. I have a good idea and I want it to be critical. And if I can beat the AI of it being critical of my idea, I'm like, oh, that slaps. Like, that's good. So,
okay, that's actually really good because I work very well on like somebody telling me what I can't do.
So I know that. That's good. Like,
your instructions to GPT is going to tell us to be a hater. Just
like,
a hater. You know, the Tracy Lee origin story is her, what? You had an ex that told you you wouldn't be good at JavaScript, TypeScript, and now here you are? Like, you know.
No,
her,
he didn't tell me I wouldn't. He was like, I don't know what he did. He didn't want me to do things. He wanted to control me.
But now you're a rock star.
I cannot be controlled. If you wanted to control me, I was like, that's cute. Really? No. But it was true. Yeah, it was true with my wrestling coach in high school. Do that. He was like, even real men can't be wrestlers. And he was like, look at this fireman's carry. Look at these fingertip push-ups. I was like, is this bird challenging me? I'm joining. Then I joined. And they made me do penetration steps for 2 hours, if y'all know what those are.
Yeah, yeah.
Penetration steps for 2 hours. I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. It was great.
Oof.
You're
it was amazing, you know?
No, wrestling, like collegiate, like amateur style wrestling is definitely the most difficult sport on earth. Yeah. But, you know, I want to get back to this. Like the idea of you doing double leg takedowns so people is hilarious.
Like, I was just like,
Tracy, I know.
Stay still. I had to wrestle this like guy that was like the lowest weight. I think it's like 109 is the lowest weight category. And he was like a little roly poly. And I could not get his shoulders down, you know? Oh, so annoying. With the guys though that I wrestled in my weight class, I was like at 125. I was just like, okay, here, pin me. Pin me. I don't want you to hurt me. Just go. Just pin me.
Don't slam me, dude. I'm good. It's for this pad.
I know, right? Like when they I'm like, please put me down gently. I don't need this.
Like, yo, dog, control this.
Anyway, back to prompt engineering.
One of the things I was curious about, because you sort of mentioned this, but maybe it's just the older people in the audience here as they're using AIs. Right, that maybe we're raised right. We go in and we want to talk to the AI and treat it as a person, right? This is always like one of the classic errors is to think that the AI is actually a person.
That
and so
is
we'll
the
use
classic.
Flowery language and we'll burn a bunch of tokens just trying to get around and feel weird to be very like terse. At some point, when you cut out all the fluffiness, what you're doing with the prompts almost somewhat approaches coding, it feels like, because you start to learn shorthand glyphs that AIs will understand that can get you meaning quickly.
As I do. Yeah, that's what it, that is, you know, another reason why I like programming and like engineering, right? Because you have to think about that. A lot of people, like you said, older people or people who are like more mature in their careers, they want to talk to it or write to it in a way that is more conversational. And it's like, okay, you're burning up tokens. By the time you get close to your answer, it's going to forget some of the stuff you told it. So you can't do that, right? Like I tell people, you have anything more than 4 lines, you need to go put that in a txt file, save it, and then put it like, you know, attach it to your GPT so it can read it, because you always want that there. And if you don't, it's going to forget it. So you have to learn this way of how to be clear and terse with the tool, so that way you can, you know, get your results.
That makes me so sad though. Like no emojis.
No.
No, hey bro.
No. You can say thanks and it will say you're welcome, but it is a robot that you're thanking. Yeah. So just remember, every time you say thank you to it, you're essentially saying thank you to an API that's attached to LLMs that is running on Azure.
Just hear that chink, chink.
Microsoft.
Another quarter goes down there.
Go ahead.
You mentioned a couple things sort of quickly there, the chunking, the few shotting and things like that. Now, I'm not sure if we fully defined those terms, but I guess my first question is just, how did you find out about these? Because I think that's one of the things that's difficult with prompt engineering learning anything, is that we kind of are all starting from the same starting place, but other people are tremendously further ahead and, you know, sharing what they're learning with each other. And so it doesn't make sense to start by yourself. So where do you find the shoulders to stand on, I guess? And where do you start to get inspired on new ways to do this?
I read the freaking manual. Like I'm RTFM. I read the research papers. Like a lot of the things that I teach my troops are coming straight from Vanderbilt University's Department of Computer Science. They had a research paper that's 14 pages long. It's about ChatGPT prompt patterns to improve code quality, refactoring requirements, solicitation, and software design. That's the exact title it's done. It is. It's by Jules White, Sam Hayes, Quichen Fu, Jesse Spencer Smith. And there's one person I'm forgetting. But yeah, like I went through that. I would take a page, a singular page. I will look for tips of it. I will actually put it into my GPT, ask it to summarize for it. Can you see the basics of it? Can you see the patterns in it? Can you give me examples and patterns to use this? How do I use this pattern or educate a user in this pattern? They're coming from this background or that background, right? Like, you know, how do I use, you know, API? How do I teach somebody who understands TypeScript how to use the API generator pattern? Right? That's a pattern that is in ChatGPT. So that, you know, that is the process. I go and I read the research papers, man. I read the documentation. I grew up with a military dad.
Just tell ChatGPT to read them for you.
That's what he said. Yeah. You can have it summarize it.
Yeah. But I also come from, like I said, I come from a background where you had to, you know, read SOPs. So reading boring, dry documentation does. Like that's home for me. But that's the number one paper that I can like cite right now that's been the most impactful to a lot of my learning. Even more impactful than the things that, you know, that are coming out of these AI companies that come with these prompts. Like these professors, they're really sitting down with these LLMs and, you know, learning a lot. And just the idea of like I said, when I talk about these patterns, how to use the patterns, right? Because like they have taken these patterns for engineering. They put them in 2 different levels, right? One is system requirements, architecture, and the other one is code quality and refactoring, right? So those are the 2 separate, labels for them, right? When it comes to these patterns. There's about, what? I think I have about 6 each one. So if I'm going off of the systems requirements, like you have the requirement simulator, specification disambiguation, API generator, API simulator, few shot code example, which produces examples of code usage that can later inform the model of a few shot learning context, domain-specific language creation pattern, architectural responsibilities pattern, and change request situational pattern. For my code quality ones I use, it's called code clustering pattern, intermediate abstraction pattern, principled code pattern, a hidden assumptions pattern, pseudocode refactoring, because we all know what pseudocode is, and and data guided refactoring pattern. I love the one I use the most, though, I know, because I'm always going back to this page. It has views on it. I always use code quality refactoring patterns because I'm always using that to trick my troops. Like, hey, is there a way you can write this cleaner, more maintainable, more robust? Is there a way you could write this in a manner to, you know, not make the person come behind you want to punch you in the face, right? So, like, those are the two types of patterns that they come into and that they like really honed in on for coders, right? And like I just love that idea of like, hey, yo, we have these type of patterns that just like, you know, if you go to patterns.dev by Adi Asmani, like you can see these JavaScript patterns. And I never forget being told that, hey, yo, if you really want to succeed in your career, you do not want to be focusing on data structures and algos. You want to focus on patterns because patterns are transferable to any language you go to, right? And I'm like, when you think about these patterns, they're transferable. They're just like transferable additions to those other patterns on patterns.dev, or they also can be applied to anything else. I mean, you can use the requirement simulator pattern if you wanted to on how to bake a cake, right? Or if you really wanted to take that type of pattern and transfer it to something like, all right, I want to bake a specific type of cake, but I also want to try to mix red velvet in it and not have it gross, right? You could use some of these patterns and tweak them and figure that out with those ingredients.
Before we get back to our conversation, we wanted to say thank you to This.Labs, who is the sponsor of today's show. If you need help with a project that has failed to deliver on time or are in need of a team that feels true ownership over your engineering projects, definitely hit up This.Labs. They specialize in helping business leaders ensure their strategic digital initiatives stay on track. Trusted by companies like PlayStation, Capital One, Herman Miller, PayPal, and T-Mobile, you can find them at thisdot.co. That's thisdot.co. Now, let's return to our show.
That would significantly improve a lot of stuff, I think. You know, like, I just spent 3 hours making quiche, but I used wheat flour instead. Now I have to throw the whole thing away, which I did.
Well, I've used dumb things I've used ChatGPT for, and I've actually used patterns for, is like how to make like a good fried rice. Cause I always like fried rice has always been. Yeah. Fried rice has always been my enemy. Like it's been my family loves it. My wife
from Uncle Roger. There's a lot of ways to do it.
No, my wife, she's a master of her Hawaiian fried rice. And I'm like, I'm going to try to do it and I'm going to do it spicy. And I do everything. Then I get to the rice part and it's horrible. It looks like glop. I'm like, why does yours look so beautiful and mine looks
breaking
like
up
something
the rice.
A kindergartner did.
So I know you've used large language models and AI in both capacities, but I think it's maybe important to understand prompt engineering when, say, we have a task that we, a one-off task that we want to accomplish and we just need a prompt that returns a result. Or we are tuning a model that might be part of a product that might be being consumed by customers.
Well, see, and that's where you said you don't use prompt engineering when you're tuning. That's called fine tuning, right? Prompt engineering is you already have access to that model, such as you're using ChatGPT and you want to leverage those models to engineer your solutions. When I'm fine tuning a LLM, I am trying to get the LLM to be streamlined and more focused on the areas that I need it to be. So if I want to use Phi 2, which is the SLM, I want to fine tune it to fit like a very concrete format of information versus just, you know, I want it to know everything, right? Because that's what SLM is supposed to be, small versus an LLM. So I have to fine tune this to have, you know, a compact, like finite amount of information while also making it, you know, better for the user versus, you know,
so is that still true when you do like prompt templates? Like sometimes you want, like you go in then you tell a model, hey, I want you to act as if you're, a ticket counter person and you give recommendations, but you don't attempt to do this, you don't talk about things other than what you're supposed to do. That's still the fine tuning piece. That's not considered sort of.
You kind of you wanted to be a jerk. Okay, well, you ask your
well, not a jerk, but like you don't want it to. You don't want the, you know, this person to be able to take it off, right? Because it's like I thought like prompt engineering on that.
Part I
of the
would say was that part. I will
sort of the counter
part.
To like prompt hacking, where people sometimes try to break your products or like jailbreak them or get out of them.
No, you're
like
well, you're thinking when it comes to like prompt hacking. What do we call it? I guess we do call it jailbreaking. We did a jailbreaking exercise at work one day, and it was very funny. Sending emails when people like, "Yo, we're messing with this. Please don't, you know, turn us in or get in a we're doing hood stuff with the code. Don't please don't fire us." But yeah, so
okay, so that's I less think, like it. So mostly, this prompt engineering is just trying to get something out of a model. Mostly,
what you just said of like having to act as a thing, that is fine tuning. But gotcha. Now that I, after I fine tune it. Everything posts to get to the solution, that is prompt engineering. Like,
okay.
If I say, I want you to behave as a product manager, I have fine-tuned that version of ChatGPT to behave like a product manager. It's not going to act like a sales engineer. It's not going to act like an engineering manager. It's going to act like a product manager. It's going to think, it's going to give me questions from a product manager focal point, right? Mm-hmm. So I know when I'm asking it code stuff, it is going to be like, as role as a product manager, that's out of my scope, right? It can say that and give you that response. You'd be like, but I know you know this stuff. Well, no, you just fine-tuned it to be a product manager.
So that's when you created GPT, like, because I know when you created GPT, like, you're uploading your own data, right?
You can, or you can also give it prompts to all.
Okay, so like when you create GPTs, you can just be like, here's my engineer GPT, here's my product manager GPT, here's my sales GPT.
I recommend when you create a GPT, there's two sections, create and configure. Mm-hmm. I always say do work in configure, then do work in create. Right, you can have your G. Like I put notes and things that I have over the course of 10 years on things helping my troops. I then took it piece by piece, made text files. Then I put it into the GPT that I created to add that as my own data. But then I also, based upon things that I have, I wrote configurations to enhance my data. Right, so that way that GPT now has these configurations as well as the data that I've implemented into it, right? Mm-hmm, so you mm-hmm. can do, you definitely can just say, you know, you're going to be this, but you know, you want to give it, you know, you want to give it some expertise. Like, you know, for me, I know I'm not really trying to go past Python and JavaScript, TypeScript, right? I know that for, you know, when it comes to frameworks, I really don't want to touch anything that's not Next.js. So I train my GPT, my coding GPT, to focus on Vercel's work, right? Like, what are the things I can do with Vercel when it comes to SQL? What are the things I can do in the Next.js? Like, I'm actively doing that and help training it. There's a new feature that's out. Well, you're in the GitHub Stars program. So there's a new feature that's out where you can index this. It's not out yet, but it's coming soon. Or hopefully, because it's pretty cool, where you can index your code, right, and have it start training on your own repo and help you get better answers, right? Or summarize, which is cool because they were working on this in the office of at GitHub Next, and then they, I guess, they just rolled it into this. But you can summarize like your PRs and stuff based upon your code. So now you don't have to think about your code and your commits like that. Like, this is what I wrote. This is the PR. This is everything that's in the PR. This is a well-done PR. And like, you know, people are going to like, all right, where's this? Where's that? Where's the third? So I think that is how I look at it, right? Like, this is how all this stuff is going to be encompassed. And you have to take your data, your configurations, as well as the things you wanted to create and combine it. Like, you still have to be the HIL, right? Human in a loop.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that you know, I've noticed, especially when talking about prompt engineering with people that are using certain tools, like ones like Midjourney is really common for this, you'd see someone go, here's the prompt I used for this. And there's almost no English in it. It's just like --this --this. It's just parameters and parameters and parameters. And I remarked to myself that I was like, wow, like people are learning these tools intricately and almost coding in these prompts nowadays. Yeah. So my question for you is, like, how common is this in the tools that you've been using? Do you think this is really more of a niche thing still? Or do you think that this is increasingly going to be a thing where these model creators are going to expose underlying parameters through these kind of like parameters and such?
I think right now it's niche, but it won't be in the next 2 to 4 years. You have to understand. You have to look at it from our point of view, right? Like, remember when, like, I keep going back to how AI is now to when JavaScript and TypeScript or JavaScript and Node first really hit the scene, right? You had that, you know, 2 to 4 year period where people were very resistant and the younger people came in learning the stuff that the middle management, middle engineers, senior engineers didn't want to learn. And since those roles, since the business was going to use React, whether, you know, the middle engineer was going to learn React or not, you know, we were able to come in with that skill set of React or Angular or, you know, Ember.js, and we were able to, you know, fill those roles. Well, that's the same thing that's going to happen here, right? Though these kids coming out of college in the next 2 to 3 years, they're going to come in and fill these roles based upon, like, yo, there's that whole, there's a different level of this where you need a human in a loop and you need someone who has an accounting degree and understands how to do prompt engineering. Or, you know, someone at, you know, the greatest, last year there was a job that dropped in San Francisco that was librarian with prompt engineering experience. And it was like $250,000. We were like, the average in that same area, in the Bay Area, was like 85 grand for a librarian. So it like almost tripled the pay for this one role. And that's what you're going to see. You're going now, the real problem with sophistication, what are the jobs that we're going to create, and what are the jobs that how are we going to do that job training, right? As we get better, as these things become more robust, right? Because we're seeing that shift now where a lot of the customer support roles are being done with the triple agent like protocols that we just spoke of, you spoke of earlier. And they're able to have like agent, super agent, hyper super agent, like just able to like have different permissions based upon what the user needs. We're seeing that. See that?
That's much easier to talk to the manager then, and to make the manager give me a discount. You just need to get really good.
I guess, but you see what Kay Larna, like, right? They you know, replaced 700 people with AI. You're seeing it in call centers where they're, you know, replacing people in huge swarms of groups with artificial intelligence, because they're like, hey, we can have our top performers manage this while using the data that we have in 10, 20 years. With all these recordings that we have as a company, we can train this data and train this up on our data and move forward, right? So that's what's happening. And what we're going to see in our industry is the people who are resistant, they're going to be more program manager roles, and they're going to be managing these smaller teams, much smaller teams that understand how to work with these tools, right? It's going to be a senior, two mids, and a specialist, and a Devin, I guess. Devin will be working with the mids, and the specialist will also be help, because, you know, that's part of your job with Devin. They're like, no, you need to know, you still need to know how to code, because Devin's going to mess up. Like, you know, they even had Devin messing up in the prompts, right? And it had to go look for the right documentation. But what happened with this human written documentation is not correct. I ran into this problem this weekend. I'm just building just rebuilding our theme where, hey, something had changed and it wasn't documented in the VS Code theme paper documentation. So that's what the ChatGPT was doing. So I actually had to go and look it up like a normal person and actually figure out what was going on. To figure it out, I was like, oh, like a pleep. Like, this is crazy. I can't believe I'm looking it up on the internet. Like, I'm actually having to go to Stack Overflow for this. Bomb buck. So, like, that is the world that we're living in, right? You will, the AI will mess up. It won't have, especially right now, because the AI is still being trained on human stuff, right? We don't trust. I mean, artificial intelligence right now is slightly below entry level, like any former worker, right? So there's a lot of fear instead of doing the thing of learning, like with prompt engineering. How can I make this more efficient? How can I say this on my resume? How can I say this on my how can I impact my org with prompt engineering and train each of my other developers? The other developers are next to me. Hey, this is how it is. How can I argue for our AI policy at work? Because it's coming. No one's job is going to be resistant to this. No one's going to, no, there is no CEO on earth that's going to be like, hey, we can save money using this, but I don't want to use it because my developers don't like it. They're going to be like, okay, whatever. I'm going to get new developers to actually like this. That's cool. So like that's, I mean, like,
it was kind of amazing because like I was talking to this sales guy the other day and I was like, well, how do you do that search? Or like, you know, or how do you save it? And what he did was he took a screenshot of all his parameters, stuck it into ChatGPT and was like, hey, format it this way for me. And that's how he saved everything. I was like, oh my gosh. So this morning I wanted to change out the logos on the this.site site. And I was like, I'd never seen somebody do that, right? Upload an image and then it spits out what you want it
OCR
to.
OCR is what it's format. Called. Yeah.
But I did that for the logos on this.site website. I said, hey, can you put this into a list for me? Create an Excel spreadsheet. I know you guys like step by step. I know. But create a Excel spreadsheet and then also categorize it by industry. And ChatGPT crapped out. Okay, but it's fine. But point is, you know, it's kind of amazing to see all everybody. I mean, I know we are all in engineering, but like everybody kind of use ChatGPT in like kind of a different way.
Oh, that's why I think this is going to be like one of the things that's going to become a fundamental skill set, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't need, all you have to do is know how to read, write, communicate, and type, right? And even with, if you're on mobile, you can speak directly to ChatGPT and not have to type. So there you go, right? I can just speak directly to it and it, you know, says what you get to pick the voice that you want.
I mean, this is much easier to cheat on interviews too.
Is it?
I mean it's like, easier than like phoning somebody in and get, you know, which is always like my dream to like go through a technical interview and have like
with an earpiece.
Yeah, and have like Ben, you know, be on the other side feeding me data. I could just like use ChatGPT to do it.
Yeah. But see, that's gonna make, I think if we do this, if we do this right, because I'm pretty sure we won't, if we do this right, that is going to make hiring better, right? Because we're going to be hiring for, we're going to stop hiring for surface level skills. Like, just imagine a world where you're actually looking at how a human being thinks when it comes to engineering versus their syntax. Aren't you, you know, especially in an era where, you know, super talented people don't get the job because of code smells. Like, you think, if you think of it like how the founder of Homebrew, the creator of Homebrew, didn't get a job at Google, and 90% of programmers use Homebrew. So just imagine if whatever question that was probably something that could be answered by AI was omitted because we may know how easy it is to get to this solution. We could, you know, make the, you know, we could make the problem. They could have had this guy there, this thinker at their company, right? How many people, you know, they're actually talented. They get looked over by companies, by the big boy companies. And I also think about the solo entrepreneur aspects of this with prompt engineering. Prompt engineering along with serverless technologies, I am excited because I see that, yo, I truly believe in the next 10 years, we're going to see the first 1-2 person, like billionaire companies coming out in the next 10 years, just off of AI and serverless technologies, the tools.
Starting like with us, three of us are here. Billion
That's
dollars.
One too many. We have to like do us to take over.
That means we'll be a trillion-dollar company.
Yeah. Well, we just had to take Rob stock, like treat it like the Winklevoss twins. We're kicking you out. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm joking. What's cool about this prompt engineering thing is, like you said, I mean, you know, you said you were reading papers. People wouldn't necessarily expect that because people aren't used to reading papers about software engineering. Nobody writes a lot of papers about Next.js. There aren't many of them. But and even though AI hasn't been around very long, people have known how to solve problems with imperfect information for quite a while, or they've studied it for quite a while. So things like having consensus algorithms, you know, the world of algorithms, imperfect information has taught us a lot about how to solve problems. And I love that academic papers are coming out so quickly, applying what must be decades of literature against a new tool is coming out so quickly. So I guess as we sort of wrap that up, you know, can you think of, to tease people with, either a pattern or something that you've been learning or using recently, if not one of the ones you've already said, that maybe surprised you or would whet people's appetite? Because I think we want to promote people going up and picking up those papers. So we need to tell them what's in those papers.
I really the one I use the most is the one I like, because it helps me. It helps me help people, right? So principal code pattern is a great one, right? So trying to, hey, here's this component. I want to use the solid principles, and I want to focus on applying these solid principles to my React code base or my Vue code base components, right? And so let's look at the code I have. How do we apply this to that, right? Things like that. Well, that is how. I actually have the prompt right here. Refactor this React class component to follow solid principles, particularly focusing on separating the component into smaller functional components to adhere to the single responsibility principle.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a prompt I use. So that is one of my favorites. I do that for Next.js all the time. I look at something like where I go through and I look at code that we're doing. I'm like, maybe we can make that lighter. Maybe we can make this better. Or, you know, being able to, you know, explain to a troop using, have them go do the research. I had a troop, she was trying to implement her theme into her Next.js app, and she was asking about, should I put it in underscore app TSX, or can I put it in my layout TSX? Well, I was like, you shouldn't ask me that. You should use prompt engineering and figure this out. And I was like, so what are the pros and cons of using underscore app TSX versus layout TSX? And she was like, this should learn. Hey, well, based on the prompts, if I use underscore app TSX, it will be impacting, it will be able to impact my web app globally versus layout. I'll have to, like, you know, mainly invoke it into certain areas. It's like, yes. So do we want this thing to be global, or do you want to only have to evoke it in certain places? She's like, no, I want this global, because I intend to have this be my dark theme. All right, cool. There you go. Answer the question and answer. And you have to ask me. I didn't have to think about it, right? So, like, that's how you teach people how to use these tools, right? What are you doing? What are you trying to use this for? And let's go, you know, and we're going from there. And, you know, I read her PR maybe an hour ago, and I was like, oh yeah, this works, this is good. So, but yeah, principal code pattern, that's my favorite one. And if you want another one, go to patterns.dev, and then, like, look at your code and see, like, what, ask based on patterns.dev, how will this code look if I follow this, like, you know, singleton pattern? How would this look if I follow singleton pattern? Or what does single pattern is best used for, right? I like to ask my GPT that, like, thinking of singleton pattern, and what feature can I utilize on this that will be best showcased for it? That way, when I'm building my web app, because I tell my troops, we do not build portfolio sites, we build web apps, they, you know, this is how I can use singleton pattern into my web app, and what problems to solve. That way people can see, not only do I understand single pattern, I did research, I built something using it, right? Like, you know, that way you open your GitHub and you're like, holy crap, they actually applied a freaking pattern. And then, you know, in their code base, why on earth would you do that? How did you do that? Why would you think about that? And be like, well, because I know that if I learn the patterns better, I'm going to, you know, be able to learn other language faster, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it gives them that, you know, that conversational standpoint, and utilizing AI and prompt engineering helps them with that.
Well, this is so cute. Patterns.dev is what is cute.
I love it. It's my favorite. It's my favorite.
I love the design, of course. And of course, you know, Addy always does great work with what he pops out. But, you know, this was really fun. So definitely stay tuned for the next episode in this series. And let me look it up. Next up, we're going to talk about building with the AI API. So that'll be really fun. topic next up. Stay tuned or check out the last two episodes we did. And thank you, Jerome, always. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you for having me. Next time.
Yeah. See you soon.
This podcast is sponsored by This.Labs, a framework agnostic consultancy that specializes in JavaScript. You can find them at this.co/labs. That's THISDOT.CO/labs. For all of your friends and you.